Item number 17 is from the Department of Human Resources, the Director of Department of Human Resources.
Yes.
Relative to reclassifications of existing positions, reallocations of non-represented positions, advancements within the pay range, and all revisions to executive compensation positions. Excuse me, the recommendations are to be implemented unless the supervisors object.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Miller. Are there any objections? Any comments regarding item number 17, Supervisor Schmidt?
I think your comments stand from before. I made those comments. I won't repeat them, but again, I find difficulty in figuring out a lot of these reports, and we're going to work on that hopefully. Question I have is kind of curious. I don't know if I can see what we've allocated down. Am I reading this correctly? I'm looking at the reallocation DAS fiscal form with the executive two directors for strategic planning. I'm not sure if I guess it's page 212. I look on the computer and have people with me on that one.
Yep.
Okay. Could I have an explanation on that one, please? Am I reading this correctly? Is this where we have Executive Director two strategic planning? I don't know if that's Andrew Warren again. It's been a mystery, a lot of stuff. But so we're grading down from 902E to 901E because of lack of PhD. I mean, I'm just confused on this one. Got to get some help on it.
Is this on?
Good morning. Yes, that is your understanding of that is correct, and we're just trying to make all of those positions equivalent within the county executive's office as a part of this larger reallocation package that is down here in this cycle.
So we're spending $20,000 less?
Yes. On that position. That position is currently unfilled, to be clear.
Oh, okay. Right. Well, that helps us too. See, this is what I mean about some things. Unfilled, filled, who's got what position. And I know, you know, I hope you'll take things personally, you know, and your name's going to come up a couple times. I mean, you were over here, you want to do this, and I'm not going to go through that history again. But that's led to some of these questions we have today. And, you know, I don't think anybody's trying to fool anybody. I hope that wasn't the intention. But it just is confusing. And, you know, proper titles, who is who. You know, I asked for these flow charts or organizational charts. And, you know, I had one for the county executive's office a year ago. I had one 6 months ago. And there's a lot of changes again in the last 6 months. So I guess it's just, I'm going to ask again that, you know, when we have budget, so we understand who is who. Okay, or if someone, we want to advance someone. You see, the difficulty in a lot of these, again, is, and maybe it's a personal problem of mine, but, you know, we have so many departments over the years. In the past few years, we had wage freezes, and then we had reps versus non-reps. And, you know, then we had the lousy furlough stuff, which I thought was necessary at the time. It was supposed to protect jobs, but it wasn't done equally, so that's why that didn't work. Okay, we're unhappy it didn't work better. But I thought it was better than laying people off. Okay, so what I'm seeing is we're always making exceptions to the rule here. You know, we say a lot of times, okay, well, those people are getting zero raises. We got contracts. We've heard about them. And then in these reports, then we're giving people, you know, sometimes substantial raises. And we're not giving. So do you see any kind of quandary I have here, or do you see why the committee needs to kind of, you know, if we're supposed to make a decision, you know, we have to pick the budget from the county executive. And then or in some of these areas, and we pass budgets, and I know that there are exceptions to rules, but that's why there's better explanations are needed. That's why at least it has to be done. Jen is saying, I don't think it would take up hours or days. I mean, I just think a lot of these reports we have, dual employment and emergency, we could spend 2 seconds on those. Those are pretty darn obvious, right? But some of these reclasses are not so obvious. Some of these reclasses or reallocation on the pay system are, you know, we're supposed to know more about this if we're doing our jobs. So at least the genocide, like I said, should be done. I know we're going to come back and talk about this more, but, you know, I guess I'm not looking for a complete answer because we don't have it. It's just a frustration I've always had, so I have to express it. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Lutzen.
I have a series of questions, but can we start with
Mr. Chairman, with an explanation of what was corrected on the corrected report, changes in places.
The one that was on your table this morning?
Yes.
That relates to last month's. I pulled the wrong report into that. And in this report, you should have a change on, I think they've changed the names of the, to reflect more of what the positions are doing.
So we can ignore the correct report?
No, the correct report should have been there because that's what you would have, that's what they were requesting last month. That's actually on, I think, the next item.
Oh.
It was the item that was laid over.
Yeah.
Oh, very good. Okay. All right. Thank you. Then, Mr. Chairman, from Mr. Campbell's, perhaps, I just want some reconciliation of discussions we had verbally and what's contained in the report relative to the three changes in your department and the what appears in the report to be a significant double-digit raise versus what you told me, which was a more modest raise.
And I appreciate that because I know that Supervisor Cullen, Chairman Cullen, did receive memo from you, Mr. Campbell, mm-hmm. that discussions with Supervisor Westrom, Supervisor Smith, maybe all committee members have kind of gotten their permission. So if you would go further on those three.
On those three positions, to your specific question, the positions were studied by HR. They were, if you will, marked to market. And they were placed on the third tier. I think that gives us, as the employer, the flexibility, should we need to put them up on the third tier. The fiscal note indicates that these employees will be placed on the first tier, and that's what the expectation is. So, again, the report, kind of getting back to Supervisor Schmidt's point, is a little bit misleading. It looks like these people are going up to the third tier. When in fact, HR studied the position, they looked at comparables and put all three of these positions, given the duties assigned to each of these three positions, and what these individuals are going to be doing at step. So what we talked about earlier about step one versus step three still is in play. Does that address your question?
Close, I think. For others, so you understand what I'm asking about, those three positions are shown as step three, which would roughly be a $10,000 increase, or like 13-14%, versus what I'm told is the intent to promote those three folks with the change in duties. To raise them to the first step in the new pay range.
Correct.
And that's what you're confirming for me is the intent.
That's the intent. We're a small department. These are three individuals that are currently capped out. We have about six individuals within DAS Fiscal. We have what's called the APABA position, which is the Assistant Finance and Budget Administrator. She's still going to be in a leadership role. Her name is Cynthia Paul. Her current pay range is about $96,000. These three classes are below that, even though they come close to her responsibilities. We have other individuals. We have a FAMA 2 position, which recently was reclassed to a FAMA 3 position. It was Antoinette Bailey. That reclass, which happened last February, was about a $14,000 increase. So, I mean, these things do happen. And I think these are my most seasoned individuals. They are my the individuals that are presently capped, and this is not only a means to let them to progress within the pay range at a higher level, but for us as DAS Fiscal to get additional functionality out of them. I wrote a business plan on this. This is a pay raises. This is changing the way we get budgeted in Milwaukee County. And I think if we're going to start doing some implementing of some bottom-up outcomes-based budgeting, formal Milwaukee County, and starting building some of those elements, I'm going to need some resources. I think I've heard some of the questions, why now? When I talked to King County, when I talked to Baltimore, both were cited in this report. It takes about 6 months to get an effort like this up and running. This is a deep dive. It's iterative. It looks at outputs, not just inputs. And it looks at how do you deploy tax levy resources and how are they being deployed efficiently? Are they deployed effectively? What's the return on tax levy? The current model is more reactive. We wait for departments to come with their departmental requests. It's very top down. We take those departmental requests and bring those down to available resources. The decision making process is less beneficial. I think for $15,000 here right out the gate, you will get a substantial return on your dollar. You will see in the 13 budget, and you will notice that there are some bottom-up budgeting practices that were deployed, and you will know which ones they are, and they generated significant savings. The top-down traditional model has been deployed for most of the other departments in the 13 budget, and it will be very apparent just to which departments those are. So it's really about making better decisions, putting you folks in a better position to make good public policy decisions as to how those scarce tax dollar resources are going to be deployed, and actually looking at outcomes, and then actually holding departments accountable for their deliverables in terms of service. So I know I sat down with all of you on those points. I went through this memo, or most of you on these points, and went through this memo. I just did not request your fair consideration.
Mr. Chairman, I appreciate that explanation. It helps me to be supportive of the change, and particularly it speaks to how the report sort of this idea of change in duties, that there's a real change in duties going on here versus just sort of a stealth way of pay raises for your top performers, which I think that's part of why these reports are so helpful, is for us to actually get some insight into what's going on in some of these departments, because many times I do feel that there's some inequity going on, that certain people are able to get these reclasses, and that's the way they get their raises, while the rest, while the masses are, suffering under the status quo of frozen. So I do appreciate that. Further question, bottom of the same page, 208, relative to the county executive's office. Can we get clarification what's going on with those two? They're now shown just as retitles. Are we finally moving people into the actual job they do, or what's going on there?
Thank you. Yes, at the last meeting there had been, I think, significant confusion about what jobs we're really talking about, who are these folks. And there are a number of jobs throughout the county like this where it's an old title that really doesn't fit exactly what they're doing. There's a lot of cleanup that's going to be coming. But in reaction to what happened last week, yes, the reason those two are on there is simply we wanted to retitle them to describe what they actually do. Duties didn't change. It was strictly retitled.
And then just clarification. So it's a retitle with respect to this item here, but the reclass happens in the subsequent item, or the item that was held over?
I believe that item 18 is what was held over from last.
Right. I'll hold that item to address that issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor. Mr. Campbell, with respect to the fiscal management panel's three positions and their new titles and their duties, how will we be as finance personnel, committee members, or county board members, how will we see what's transpired as much as you've indicated that it will take about 6 months to
Well, the six-month time frame really is planning for how do we start developing the 2014 budget. And when you look at rolling out an output or outcomes-based model, you really start moving away from the inputs, just the tax dollars and the service of the individuals who provide the services, start linking those inputs to outputs. What are the deliverables? What are the programs run by the departments? What are the deliverables? So we really need to start planning as to how we're going to communicate with departments, how we're going to identify the programs that they run, identify their deliverables, start working with departments as to how do you measure their performance, and are the measures that they have A, accurate, and truly do measure the performance down in various departments. There's a whole planning cycle that needs to happen before we start rolling out how we're going to start implementing output-based budgeting model here. And you're going to start seeing, these are three individuals, I can't promise whom, but it's going to start allowing us to put some elements of outcome-based budgeting into the 14 process. It's very, again, very iterative. It's a deep dive. It's very analytical. It's almost taking budget analysts and making them a program analyst. But I anticipate there's going to be a lot more communication with departments. And so you're going to start hearing about it and hearing about it before you start seeing the results. But most of the results should be coming in 14. The decisions are for a certain level of tax levy that's going into the department. What are the exact deliverables? And then in the middle of the year, how do you hold the department truly accountable for those deliverables?
Thank you. Any questions, Mr. Campbell? So we'll just offer to us.
Well, I guess I have a quick comment just to, it wasn't a whole discussion with the panel. It wouldn't have taken the time to go into those with most of us, if not all of us, you mentioned. And you know what? The HR department has to represent the different departments. Again, I'm going back to Dennis, because, you know, again, we get the case that says, well, no, more duties. And you say, well, we spent a lot of time on that, and I appreciate that, but, you know, you get a phrase, and that phrase can mean different things for different departments. I mean, what kind of duties? I mean, you know, what was the duties for? What was the pay range for? If you say, well, there's 23 and the 25, then, well, what is that? Okay, it's 90 to 92,000. So this is the thing that I struggled with for a long time and asked if they have some more clarification on it. So that's the point. And I think, you know, anything to make us give us more information, always the budget is so difficult to look at, okay. But if you have some accessibility, I mean accountability, identify your measures, you know, things you could just talk about, and that's the stuff we're all looking for. And you know, I think we've been very supportive. I think we try to be very supportive of most of the departments that are doing these things, but we just need a little more explanation to understand, because phrases and 25 M's and 33 M's doesn't do it for me. I don't think it does it for a lot of other people. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Just to echo some of the comments of Supervisor Schmidt, I do think that what you describe in terms of these ranges and the numbers are confusing. And I'm very excited that we've hired a new comp manager who's really going to be taking our entire compensation system, looking at how can we set up ranges that make sense, and looking at every job across the county and level setting everything. And that way, my hope is that reclass and reallocations are not going to be very common in the future, because we'll have everything cleaned up. That's my hope, and she'll be actually reaching out to each of you at some point in the future to kind of walk through some of these plans and where we hope to head with that. So just wanted to interrupt again. Thanks.
And then Mr. Chairman, and Mr. Campbell, so I don't have a memo that with me, the memo that you sent, and I don't remember to what extent you did explain.
My apologies for that. We did have hand deliverers in every box, so something missed from coming down from our office to your office.
I've seen something, but my point is that you supervisors should have, if there are job descriptions, if there are enumeration of duties, responsibilities, we should all have that so we can understand where this growth comes from, where the expansion of duties are, and first of all, see how these employees are going to grow potentially and how their growth is going to help the county with respect to what it does.
We do have drafted job descriptions that I can get those.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Supervisor Jersey.
These three reclass positions And I did receive the memo and discuss it with Mr. Kemholtz. Thank you for making that effort. Am I understanding correctly that these three, because of the reclass, are now going to be in advance of the current assistant budget director?
No, they're still going to be below in terms of compensation from what the assistant budget director currently is getting compensated.
And I guess my other question is, why are we doing this in advance of budget? Would this be an appropriate, this is in a way taking your department in a new direction. Why not wait for budget and put all of this together in budget?
Well, what we're proposing today is in the budget, so what you potentially pass today won't conflict with what will be considered down the road in 2013. But going back to my earlier point, there's a substantial lead time in order to roll this approach out, and that's about 6 months from talking to my colleagues in King County and Baltimore. And typically what we do is, in a typical budget process, is we send out levy letters, levy target letters in around April, and then we wait until the department proposals come in May and June. But what we need to do is, on the front end, what this process does is get in before that and start working with departments before those levy letters go out. It goes in before the departmental requests come in. We really need to start analyzing programs better. We need to start identifying deliverables so we can understand better where tax levy dollars go, and are those programs being delivered efficiently and effectively? Is there a return on investment for invested tax dollars? So it's very iterative. We want to start December, January of 13 in preparation for 14. There's not an opportunity to wait until the budget comes through and approved. You just can't go from 0 to 60 in a second. So we need buy-in from your panel, the committee today, to proceed to plan. I mean, we still are going to be doing the 13 budget, assisting you in your phase of the budget. But in the meantime, sidebar to this, I need folks to start thinking about how we're going to interact with departments, what kind of information are we going to get, start looking at performance measures, start looking at the deliverables in the departments, so that by beginning of 2013, we're ready to roll. We can't wait until November for that, and then all of a sudden scramble. And I really don't have the resources. We're very small. We've got six individuals. We don't really have the luxury of spending time on stuff if we don't have buy-in.
And I'm just trying to understand the chart here. It talks about org unit and then LOW org.
Yeah.
What does all that mean?
Well,
the org unit, I understand.
Well, I mean, the org unit is basically the departmental unit.
Right.
The LORG is how departments typically set up their various functions. So you can pick whatever department you want. So, for instance, sheriff's department might have a little org for highways. They'll have a different little org for the jail. So basically, the very basic building blocks, if you will, of developing a budget are those low-org units. Those are the resource pools that we need to analyze, because departments are putting dollars into those low-orgs where individuals are also being budgeted for, and they are delivering specific service, depending on what that is. It could be number of hours of patrol on the highways. Okay, there could be performance measures that we identify around that to make sure that service is comparable to services in other counties, either regionally or throughout the country.
Well,
that's the kind of stuff we need to do, and multiply that by all the wards. Not to mention the fact that some departments don't have their wards set up by function. So there's a lot of work that we have to do with departments to make sure that they're budgeting appropriately at the lower level.
Okay, I don't understand anything you just said there.
So,
and I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. These people are currently in your department, yes?
Correct.
And they're staying in your department.
Correct.
You're just trying to give them new.
I'm flattening the organizational structure. I'm giving them additional functionality, and I anticipate that there will be a return on
then. Maybe you and I can sit down someday and talk about low orgs.
Low org, certainly.
Yeah, all right. We all need that information.
Thank you.
May I have a motion to receive a place on the file since there are
no objections?
I'd like to have it anyway. Just so that
item 17?
Yeah, just to show that there's been some discussion so that we talked earlier about maybe not seeing all that was there and maybe somebody missing something. So I just want to see if I have a motion to receive. We have a motion to receive the place on the file, item number 17. Any discussion? Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Supervisors Haas?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Loma West?
Aye.
Jersey?
Aye.
Lipscomb?
Aye.
Alexander?
Aye.
Stamper?
Aye.
Cullen?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
Motion to receive a place on file and a vote of 9-0.
Item 18.